Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs, okay? Hi, I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
Everyone, we are on Crappens On Demand today, our first Crappens On Demand for 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. I did a facial.
I don't know about you.
I got a bunch of fillers. The fillers are called fruitcake and ice cream and cookies.
Ew.
From Nonstop for 2 weeks. And
you ate a fruitcake?
My face.
People
I
really
made a fruitcake.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be rude.
No. Listen. So my friend Sylvia, her mom makes the world's best fruitcake. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable, Madison. And so I wasn't sure if I'd be able to have any this year because of coronavirus. So I tried to make my own, which turned out delicious. But it is like a far cry from Sylvia's mom's fruitcake.
Well, can I tell you a secret about Sylvia's mom? And you have to promise you'll never tell Sylvia?
Yes.
Her neighbors hate her mom. Okay? The neighbors hate the mom. Because hated neighbor in the neighborhood would bring over a goddamn fruitcake. Okay? That's how you knew the evil lady in the neighborhood. Because she'd be like, hey, Merry Christmas, here's a fruitcake. And everyone's like, oh, fuck Phyllis, you know?
I will tell you, this fruitcake will change your life. Like, it is absolutely one of the most delicious cakes you will ever have. Not mine, Sylvia's mom's fruitcake, but you know, we'll talk about that on the bonus episode. We'll go more into the fruitcake.
I think I'm good on the fruitcake talk. Ben, wow. you're my little fruitcake. Okay, everybody, welcome to 2021. We are super excited to be back with Southern Charm. Okay, we've got some big stuff coming up. The 2021 annual Golden Crappy Awards will be back this year. We don't give a crap about Corona. Actually, it makes our lives a whole lot easier.
Actually do.
We get to just sit here and
do it virtually. We're doing it virtually, so we actually do give a crap of coronavirus. Otherwise, we'd go out in some place and.
Well, I mean, we're not going to let it take us down, okay?
Yeah.
The Crappy Awards does not care. The Crappy Awards goes on. It's going to be January 21st. It's 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. You can get tickets at watchitcrappens.com. They're on sale now. If you are a Patreon member, you can get a discount. So just check your
emails.
If
you're at the Crappens On Demand level. If you're at the Crappens On Demand level.
Yeah, on this level where you can see our gorgeous faceled faces right now, there's a discount. And otherwise, get them early because day of, they're a little more expensive. And we're going to have a lot of really good celebrity guests, some presenters. Yeah. It's going to be so
amazing. We have
amazing.
A bunch. It's going to be really, really fun. And thank you to everyone who has, at the beginning of the week, we were saying it was one date. Now we pushed it back a week to give it a little bit more time. And, of course, in classic Crappens fashion, we announced that tickets are on sale exactly when there's the Capitol is being besieged. So, we are really killing it with the rollout of this announcement. Really killing it. So thank you for people who've actually paid attention to our announcements.
This world has gone so freaking crazy. Everyone's like, oh, buy 2020. And I was like, you think that the change of a year is going to really do that much? And of course, that's how we start out the year, with people breaking into the Capitol building. And I mean, wow.
But tickets for the Crappies are on sale.
Yeah. But hey, we can still have fun. Why not?
We'll still be
laughing as the world starts itself on damn fire, okay?
We really will. We really actually will have a lot of fun. And so far, more people have voted in this year's in the ballot than ever before. And it's only been 4 days. We're up to about 15,000 votes, over 15,000 votes. So I'm so excited to see what the results are going to be. The categories are awesome. So again, the tickets and the ballot. Even if you don't even come, just do the ballot. The ballot's just fun. That's at watchacrappens.com. And the other thing that we have to tell people about is we are going to be recapping Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. But the recap's going to air on – we're going to have it on Monday, and we're going to pair it with Atlanta just because there's a million Bravo shows on right now, and we just couldn't do another episode this week. So so if you're like, are you guys not recovering it anymore? We are. And if you hear people ask that online, feel free to tell them, don't worry, the recap is coming on Monday.
Yes. Also, I have an Amazon package that just came. Whoa!
Ooh.
So I'm very excited, and it's very on brand for Southern Charm because Amazon packages are everywhere on Southern Charm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell Catherine's, the state of Catherine's emotional state. You can gauge Catherine's emotional state by the amount of Amazon packages in scenes starring Catherine. I don't know. I'm going to talk like that all day. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying today.
Please do. By the way, this episode of Southern Charm Sorry, I feel like I've got something in my throat. I'm going to cough. It's fruitcake. I was highly entertained by it. It was like that perfect mix of like hilarious and problematic of like these guys really, it's like everything, but it like worked for me. I really, really enjoyed last night's episode.
I did too. And I thought it was kind of funny because everybody's been so separated the whole season. You know, you haven't really seen anyone go at it. And so you have this group of girls talking about how they're going to just get Catherine and, you know, we're going to talk to Catherine and blah, blah, blah. And then Catherine's just that bratty kid. It's like you're worried, like, how do I confront this person? And then you finally do, and they're like, no. And they just walk off. Yeah. Like, I have planned this speech for months, ma'am. You can't just walk off. She's like, bye.
And then Austin is acting like a petulant child the entire time, and then is like so condescending to Levitt at the end, and you're just like, who the fuck are you? But it was like that kind of rage you feel that like sort of makes you happy, where you're like, oh good, it feels good to be mad at a show on Bravo again, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so angry, Denise.
Well, this episode is called "It's My Party and I'll Go If I Want to, Madison."
It's unbelievable. This party's insane right now. It's insane, Madison. This party's insane.
So, as usual, Craig gets picked the most to do the opening narration, which really must piss everyone else off, because it used to be Cameron's thing, you know? She'd be like, this week I had a chicken nugget and took my baby to a museum. And now it's always Craig, like previously. And Catherine is the furthest thing from racist, okay? So he does the musical opening.
Yeah.
And I was going to go through all this, and I was like, why? I forgot that this was a COVID season of Southern Charm. I started reading the previouslys, and I was like, I'm bored. Okay, let's get on with this.
Previously on Southern Charm, I sewed a pillow. It was really nice, and like we sold it and everything when we got into Home Shopping Network. But then at the same time, I was like, I don't know. Like, it's just like a lot of work, you know? It's just that. It's like, okay, Craig. So, the episode starts off after Trixie Monocle's intro. We have a little fun with our GoPros. There's a GoPro that's like attached to little Craig's head, and he goes like running around on the beach after a ball, and it's just like little Craig cam, and just sort of see the top of his head. Like, you know, like you ever see those videos where someone puts a GoPro on like an eagle or a hawk?
And they're amazing.
and they fly around, and it's amazing. But you also, while they're flying around, you see their head be like, Is that food?
Yeah, like you get an eagle hunting. It's like the glorious plains of America. And then you get little Craig, who's just like...
running on the beach.
Tiny little legs, just like... tiny little gremlin cam.
Running around the battery.
Oh, and then Patricia's reading her iPad while Michael's grooming the dogs. And I really like that Patricia... because Patricia was... a character on the like she was involved because Whitney was always around, you know, so it kind of made sense. And I like that now they're just keeping Patricia on as just the lady who's judging your ass while she reads a giant
reading your Instagram
while she reads a giant iPad and has her butler bring her martinis. Like, they don't even try and connect it anymore, and I'm okay with it.
And she doesn't, it's like, and she just needs some sort of alcohol in her system. She's like, Michael, would you bring me a martini or something? Like anything. And it, like rubbing alcohol, whatever we have. Like, just, I need it right now. It's too hot.
And over at Leva's, she's barbecuing. And then we go over to Craig, and he's with his girlfriend, I guess. And I don't know. I couldn't tell because I didn't hear.
I didn't know if it was her or not. And he's like, you want me to open up some Beaujolais? And she's like, I think it's Beaujolais. He goes, you keep saying that, and I don't think it's right. Yeah, Beaujolais. Yes, the famous wine, Beaujolais.
Barefoot? Would you like some barefoot? So then we go over to Pringle, and he is still with his ex-wife, Heidi, who's in town, and they're taking their kids to go fishing. And basically, the little chunky kid with the glasses, hi, welcome to my childhood. That kid looks like me. He has glasses like I had at that age, and he acts exactly how I acted when we went fishing. Why
are we doing this to me? And I think it would like make more sense if Pringle seemed to know how to fish, but like He's, it reminded me of like that scene from Something About Mary where like Ben, like the hook gets caught in Ben Stiller's cheek, because he basically is like, okay, here's how you fish. You take your rod and you go back like this, and he like swings the rod back, and his kid is like right behind him, and the hook is like whoosh, like right by his face. I'm like, you're gonna kill your child.
Yeah, and he's also doing it like there's a roof over his head. You know, they're doing it at the end of the dock where there's it's roofed or whatever, it's covered. So he's like swinging back. This, it was a mess. But
as if he's like, Robert Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford fly fishing. It was not that. It was pretty sad. But you know what? At least he's trying. If you don't have your kids all the time, I wouldn't know what to do. It's like, how do you do a line with a child? You don't, you know? So you just, you throw lines instead.
Yeah. And then the kids, of course, hate it. And they're like back on their phones because they're like, you know, fishing is boring. And Pringle just feels really guilty because he just always gives them a device to sort of shut them up. And his sister is like, no, don't feel bad. It's called, mom used to call it benign neglect. You know, she just ignores for a few hours and it worked.
Yeah. Devices are like the best babysitter that ever was born. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, well, when I grew up, I had free reign at six. You know, we played in the battery. I pissed in tulips. I remember doing that. You know, I just wanted to say battery again, really. Battery.
He was also the child that, like, every adult hated. Like, there's that kid peeing in the tulips again. Where are his parents? Why is his mom drunk at the bar again? Like, someone take care of this child peeing in the tulips.
Yeah, you know who else hated him? Tulips. So
animals.
Jen's, yeah, Jen's like, they don't really care. They're just kids, you know. Of course, they don't want to be here. But they would do anything, really. They'd do anything.
And then Pringle admits the thing that we always knew. He goes, I just want to be the cool dad. Like, wow. Never say that. Never say you want to be the cool dad or the cool mom, because you never will be, and you're just going to raise a monster. So don't do it.
Yeah, you're on your way to raising little monsters. But they're cute for now.
Actually, so then they're doing pretty well. They're more mature than most of the cast. But, you know, just a warning to everyone else.
Look, if I see a kid on an iPad, I'm like, look, there's a kid with, like, logic, problem-solving skills. They know how to read. I think putting your children on electronics is great. I recommend it.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like people are like, this is a continuation of my rant from the other day. But it's like, oh, the kids are on an iPad. Well, how about this? Like, at least they know how to use the iPad, as opposed to you, like being like, how do I use this again? I don't even know how to press this. Help, help, help. At least they know what they're using.
Yeah, I was at a family night the other night. I'm still in Texas. Still here. And I was at a family thing the other day, and my mom said, God, remember a time without phones when we actually had to talk to each other because we were all on our phones? And I said, yes, I do remember it, and it was fucking disgusting, okay? It was horrible. That was not a good time in my life.
Yeah.
No offense. You know,
necessity breeds invention. Bad conversations has led us to having iPads.
Really? So, if you want to judge me, you can do it over text at the table, like every other goddamn person at this table. Mother!
So now we have Madison driving along, and she calls up Danny, and Danny's like, oh my God, I can't remember the last time I saw you. Maybe it was in New York when you said I had chlamydia.
Madison's like, well, you know, we're going to have a party. It was going to be for Austin, but Austin's not really invited anymore. So it's just a party for us to get tipsy and have fun and celebrate this gigantic diamond headband thing I insist on wearing every episode. Okay.
Hashtag born for corn. So we're here to celebrate corn and those who are born for it. Mm-hmm. So so it's just going to be a group party just for the fun of it, to get tipsy and have fun on a private island. And yes, Catherine will be coming. And Madison's like, are you cool with that? And Danny's like, Kat and I are like, I don't know. It's like, Danny, you're putting too much energy in Catherine Dennis right now. You're never going to get anything out of that friendship. It's a one-way friendship, and you either are, like, cool with that or you move on. But, like, honestly, this is too much.
Yeah. So then we go to Shep and Catherine, if they were a couple. We go to Shep and Catherine at some place called Holy Sit.
I thought it was Holy City Brewing, but that Holy Sit makes more sense.
Maybe it was, and I just got lazy typing. That's actually possible.
Holy Sit. Yeah, so Shep is there and Catherine comes in. She's like, "Gosh, I love your dress. It's like a hippie dress. Gosh.
Hey, I've got a good idea. I haven't seen you for a really long time. You want to watch me, like, guffaw on food and have it fly all over the table? Great. We'll take one of everything. I'll have this American Revolution, please." I was like, of course, South Carolina names her dishes. Where is the name of these dishes?
It was Law and Order. He ordered a Law and Order, which was either a political statement or a reference to an NBC procedural. I'm not sure.
I'd like a Law and Order with the side of chong chong, please.
Does this Law and Order come with SVU or just criminal intent? Okay, great.
And so he asks about Danny, and she's like, "Well, I want to fix it because I love Danny, and my world is crumbling. You know, that emoji thing has been devastating." Okay, so now it's our second show on Bravo this week with some little redheaded girl
at least
crying that people thought she was racist on social media. It's not a good week for gingers on Bravo.
Ginger. At least Brandy seemed to have, like, who knows the degree of, like, of authenticity, but at least she's outwardly showing a large amount of, like, remorse. And Catherine's like, she's like, like, yeah, it was bad, but, like, look, everyone's being mean to me. It's like, okay, Catherine. So she's like, I'm just, like, so confused by the whole situation, to be honest with you. I just feel like it was a whole explosion that was, like, brought on by no warning. Do you, like, I don't know if you, I think the warning sign was, like, many think pieces and op-eds and people saying, don't use monkey things with black people. That's the warning, actually, before the explosion, Catherine.
And he's like, "Well, I texted you." And she goes, "I know, you were the first person." He goes, "And you know what? I don't even care that you didn't call me back," which is funny. He's like the only friend that reached out and she still didn't text him back. He's like, I know that what you weren't saying wasn't racist. And he tells us, "I mean, I think she's a fault 100%, but I don't think she's racist. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt." And I thought, you know, Shep is such a good, Shep is the guy who was almost canceled on social media because he was fucking with a homeless lady last year and her cans. So, you know, all right. I mean, you got Shep's stamp of approval, but.
Yeah, and then he's like, gosh, nobody thinks you're against black people. It's absurd. No one thinks you're against black people. I mean, sure, you never issued a statement about your great-great-great-great-grandfather, Calhoun, and the removal of his statue, but no one thinks you're against black people.
Yeah, no one thinks you're against black people. No one thinks you're for black people. But you know what? No one thinks you're against them. Can I have a side of Special Victims Unit, please? Thanks.
So then Catherine's like, and there's another thing. My boyfriend's black. Which is like the equivalent of being like, some of my friends are black, you know? So he's like,
yes,
huh.
And she kind of knows that because she's like whispering it so it won't be on camera, which of course it is on camera. But she's like, you know, as I'm talking to Leva about the monkey emoji, I could easily be like, oh, well, I do have a black boyfriend, but I don't want people to say that's convenient. Also, that's what racists say. So I would generally not recommend saying that anyway.
Yeah.
At any time.
She's just a textbook example of how to just like bungle an entire, like, if it were totally a true, like, idiotic moment with an emoji, which it wasn't because she also said that thing about the minority platform, this is, like, a textbook example of how not to, like, how not to handle the aftermath.
This girl has not talked to Kerry Washington on Scandal, in other words. Like, this girl has had none of that training. So Shep's like, well, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not just convenient. I mean, you're spending time and you're sleeping with somebody. Nobody does that for convenience. You do it for money. I mean, does the guy have a bridge? No, come on.
Well, so his name is Caleb Ravenel, although it's spelled C-H-L-E-B. So it's like Chleb. Chleb Ravenel, but it's like Caleb, actually. Caleb Ravenel. I don't know if he's related to Thomas Ravenel, because I think Caleb Ravenel has two L's and I think Thomas has one L, but there's all sorts of weird spelling going on because Caleb is with an H and not an A. Who knows? But
I don't know.
It is funny. She wound up with a Ravenel again.
Yep. So then the closed captions come up and say melancholic music, but it's like dum 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 dum. That's melancholic for this show. So we go to Austin's melancholic house, and he gets food delivery and puts it all out, but no one's coming over because Madison calls, and she's like, listen, I don't know if you coming to this party is going to be the best for you personally, okay?
Yeah, she's like, listen, about capers, which made me excited to think that maybe they just had an argument about, like, if capers are good to add to food or salads or something like that. I got something else to say about capers, but it's actually the island.
Now listen, about capers, I hope you're not still salty.
Did you drain your capers? Because honestly, I've had a lot of soggy dishes from you.
Now listen, little tiny rat poop.
That's what the capers look like, little tiny rat poops. I love a caper, though. I don't love rat poops. I do. No, not rat poops. I do enjoy bunny poops. Bunny poops.
I enjoy caper, but I don't love them as much as I think I'd like to love them, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I would love them, but I feel like I just merely really like them. So well, there's that.
There you go,
so,
capers.
Capers. Sorry, you're no olive.
Capers has just been destroyed.
Capers is no, like, I will take an olive over a caper any day.
Oh, why not both? I love a delicious, salty, briny. Come on, give it all to me.
Give me a Kalamata.
Austin goes, the best for me personally? What? Explain yourself.
Explain yourself. This is unbelievable, Madison. Explain yourself. So Madison's like a little fucker too, by the way, because basically at the end of last episode, Craig was like, listen, you have to like quit him cold turkey. Like, you should just like, you're never going to be able to move forward if you keeping each other's lives. So she calls up and says, so Craig said, I'm leading you on and I can't have you at the party. It's like, that is okay. Really what you just did there is you just tried to make Craig look super bad, because that's not what Craig was really saying. And by you doing that is sort of like, it was just like, there was something really shady about the way she said that. Like, you, like, Madison.
Yeah, but Craig wants to stick his nose in her business, and that's what he gets. He can fight with Austin.
You know, well, because their shit's doing in his business. And finally he's like, you know what? You guys have to stay away from each other so we can all move on, you know? So then Austin is like, oh, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, Madison. Unbelievable.
Well, I want you to be there as my friend, but if you can't be my friend, then don't come, because this is my party.
He's like, oh, which is at one point it was my party.
Madison, I knew you weren't going to handle it well. Well, yeah, because you came in and you were like, Craig says that I'm leading you on, so you can't be there. Because you didn't really like say, listen, I know this is like, this is going to be an art. Like, you didn't handle it in a very nice way. You just kind of like came and like, boom, you can't come because Craig said so.
So he hangs up on her, basically. He's like, well, I was in a good mood today. And he hangs up. And then he calls
Austin
Craig.
Austin is such that person where we all have to be like responsible for his mood. Like, oh, I was in a good mood and you ruined it. It's like, oh, sorry, I ruined your mood, Austin.
Yeah. And so he calls Craig and he's like, oh, here I was thinking we broke up amicably. I mean, how much of an idiot do I feel like? And so he tells Craig, you know, I just had an interesting call with Madison. She said she doesn't want you coming to my party. So now she's disinvited me.
Yeah. You aren't going to be able to. She said you aren't going to be able to move on until someone ends this shit. And you have to not be a little bitch puppy dog. I guess that's what Craig told Madison.
No,
whatever,
no. Craig tells Madison.
Oh, Craig
that.
Says that.
No, Craig says that to Austin. He's like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to move on until someone ends this, and you have to not be such a little bitch puppy dog about it.
And Austin's like, oh, I'm fucking believable.
Unbelievable. Right. Unbelievable, Craig. Craigison. So so then Madison calls back, and Austin, he's like, Madison, I am blown away by what you just said to me. Blown away. I mean, you met with Craig. I mean, you formed some sort of coalition, and all of a sudden you have like the balls to call me and say I don't think I should come to my own party? I mean, have you lost your mind?
Austin's so ridiculous, and I can see why he's never asked to do that opening thing, because he bungles the recap. Like, he doesn't even do the recap right. He's like, what? Madison, I'm blown away what you just said to me. The kids go loco. You met with Craig. You formed a coalition. Times have changed, don't you know? Like, you're getting this all wrong. You're not even repeating things right. He's like, and then... You're saying I shouldn't even come to my own party? Baloney, baloney, baloney away. It's like, well, maybe I shouldn't have called. And he goes, and then you call back. Okay, I know. I just did it, Austin. It's like he's recapping everything through the whole show. It's so funny. Anything that happens in the whole show, he's like, you know what? Madison just called me.
Yeah, if he did the actual recap, it would just get totally sidetracked into, like, his own situation. Like, previously on Southern Charm, it's just, like, unbelievable things happened. Shep went and had a beer with Catherine. It was unbelievable. I was having such a good mood. Got loco. And now it's, like, it's terrible. It's like this is ridiculous. This coalition between two of them having SVU sandwiches together. Trixie's like, do I continue with my song?
So he's like, you know what, Madison? I'll skip it. Okay, well, I think that's the best. Well, I just said that I'll skip it. I heard you, Austin. Okay, I don't need a recap of 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, well, because Madison was like, you know, she goes, I just don't want you to feel like I'm leading you on. I just called to say that if you can be there as my friend, like, there's nothing more than that. So quit acting like a psycho ex-boyfriend. I totally see what you're saying, but by you saying that, you're also implicitly acting like the girlfriend. So, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, she's playing games with him, too. You know, they're ridiculous.
She is totally playing.
They're just
she
that couple. They're that couple in a friend group who everybody hates that they're together because they ruin everything, which is kind of where the show goes today.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go over to Gwyn's, and Lova and Vanita are coming over with Danny to try on clothes at Gwyn's.
Yeah, and we get basically, like, them trying on stuff. It's like a commercial for, like, Mandy's or, like, you know, TJ Maxx or something. It's like, this look for less. So then once they finally, like, sit down, they just start talking.
It was very, like, I follow Ross Dress for Less on Instagram. Don't judge me. Love them.
No.
And they do a thing where they're like, look, it's our customers wearing Ross. And sometimes they look fabulous, you know. It's like, wow, look at that big girl found exactly what she was looking for at Ross, and she looks amazing. But most of the time, it's just like ill-fitting clothes on people who never should have bought that thing. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
And that's how it is with Danny. She's like, what do you think of this, guys? And it's like,
just like about to cry.
That's very Ross Dress for Less Instagram feed. Okay, Danny, sorry to be the one to tell you.
So they're talking about Catherine coming to this party, etc. And you know, Danny's like, I mean, she basically came to my house like 2 hours late and rolled her eyes, and then I basically said, "Hi, bye, get out, bye." Danny, why are you crying in your recap?
She's good thing that she doesn't do the recap.
Previously on Southern Charm, it's just like, I try to be a good friend. I try to be a good friend. I tell you the recap, but, like, it's just like I don't get anything in return.
Previously, Shep got a dog, and I was trying to be good friends to Shep, but then he got a dog, and I was like, how do I fit in all this?
So then finally a producer is like, so why bother maintain a relationship with Catherine? And she's like, question of the day. I know at the end of the day, I still care a lot about her, and she will still always be that naive little 21-year-old I remember, but she definitely has some growing up to do, and I think maybe I have played a role in enabling her a little bit. I'm like, Danny, here's the issue. When you, like, I'm not trying to age shame or anything, like, but the point is, like, you're viewing Catherine as a naive 21-year-old, and you are not a 21-year-old. So what are you doing hanging out with a naive 21-year-old in the first place?
I just, yeah, she's just a crier. That's all I'm really seeing. Like, just stop crying so we can talk about this, okay? Because as long as you just stand there crying in every scene, I just want to FF.
I think so she just finds purpose out of being, like, the one that comes in and, like, helps a wounded soul. And so, like, when she's not needed, she's just, like, doesn't know what to do with herself, because then she has to maybe focus on herself or something like that. Classic, you know, psych profile.
Classic psychology.
Recording. Yeah.
So Leva's like, well, you know what I found offensive is I was like, why am I the one you're talking to? Because I'm the minority in the group and because my husband's black? I mean, did you forget about Gwen? I mean, look at Gwen. She's a minority. I mean, she owns a minority-owned business. Did you even apologize to Gwen?
Yeah. Because Gwyn's is like, yeah, she is like, this is like, this affected our business, and like, she hasn't even apologized to us. It's just like a slap in the face. It's like going on a yacht and asking for vegan food, and they don't bring you the exact kind of vegan food you really wanted. It's a slap in the face.
And then Leva's like, well, I mean, and now she's going to be bringing a strategic black boyfriend into this. And they're like, ooh, what? So she's like, yeah, I mean, the streets of Potomac have made it to the streets of Charleston. And Gwen's like, yeah, she's dating Caleb Ravenel. And Danny's like, oh, what? What? I mean, as of when? Have they seen my new outfit? Does this look good on me? Why didn't she tell me? I don't know about this.
And Leva's like, banging a black guy does not make you woke. and Danny's like, well, maybe it's authentic. And they're all like, Danny.
And Vanita's like, well, yeah, but you really come to her defense too much and you've got to stop that. Okay, I agree. But at the same time, you guys are constantly shit-talking her friend. Like, if she doesn't at least try to come to her defense, she's just a shitty friend, right?
True, but I think the thing is that like Danny sort of does that thing where she engages as if like I am over it, I am over this friendship, and I'm not gonna do it anymore. So like, cool, so we can talk shit, and then she's like, and then she defends that after all, and they're like, well, what is it, right? Like, because we all have those friends too, right, who are like, I am over this person, and I am like, that's it, like never more. And then it turns out they're like clearly not over that person, and you're like, well, how are we supposed to talk shit, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see that. So then we go to the Isle of Palms Marina, where Madison is getting a ride to Capers. And so she makes her way over to the island, and they're setting, you know, she's got party planners and all that, setting everything up. And
not a single Muppet to be found, by the way. Not a single Muppet to be found. I thought these were going to be great Capers, but no. Not a single Muppet to be found in the Capers.
Not one single rat skating on toast on a flat top grill. So they've made glasses for everybody's place settings with their names etched on them. And they're like, well, should we put Austin next to you? And she's like, Austin is not going to come anymore.
Also, I want to just point out that all this discussion about this private island, I'm like imagining this big island with like maybe trees and like, it's like this thing, like maybe there's like an eccentric millionaire on there. It's basically like a sandbar with like dried kelp all over it. It's like, it's a private island. It's like a, it's like
the like trash island. Yeah, there's like a, there's like empty Mountain Dew cans in the back, you know, it's just where,
yeah, there were people, there were like trash. Pontoon boats everywhere. It was like not this like secluded thing that, you know, it's about more about my expectations than what Madison said, okay?
You know what? Sweep your beach. That's it. Sorry. Sometimes I say things people don't like, okay?
Speaking of private islands, I really would like to be ferreted off to one after this close-up we then go to of just Austin's dick. Just like Austin putting on pants, just a close-up of his crotch. And he's getting dressed. And I thought this was a fake-out because he's like, oh, party on this island. It's insane. And he's getting all dressed, and I was like, oh, they're going to make us think that he's going to crash the party, but he's probably just going to go out to dinner with his parents, and his parents are going to just, like, you know, be judgy again. I was like, I see what they're doing. But no, I was wrong. He really was going to crash it. He really did.
I like that the producers were talking them all up, too, because you know they were. They're like, come on, it's not a big deal. Sure, you're still invited. No, don't call her. Don't call her. You're going to look great. You're going to show up. You're going to look sexy. Just look your
She's
best. You're
going to
look sexy.
So happy.
She's going to be totally enjoying. You could just see in his face how he was set up, because the whole scene is him like, look at me. Don't forget I'm sexy. You know, he's like, yeah, putting on his shirt. And the way he's looking at himself in the mirror, he's like,
His hair did look great.
Still got it.
His hair looks great, though, I will say. Austin's got great hair these days. So then everyone else is getting on the boat. Leva's there. Pringle shows up. Pringle, like, the ladies in Pringle's... Well, not the ladies. Anyone. Could be any gender. Someone needs to help Pringle out with his pants. He's, like, wearing, like, the, like, size too big, but he's, like, all, like, belted. So, like, the crotch is, like, way down, like, close to his kneecaps. Pringle, you need to get new pants.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's good to know that the guy's like really officially straight.
Yeah. I was about to say, this guy's like a
straight guy on the town.
It was like, I don't know if you know, but they were just like these big old baggy pants cinched at the waist and then just like a crotch all the way down here. I was like, come on, Pringle. We can do
better. Yeah, it's very like, I've been a single dad for exactly 1 year pants. You know, if anything, he should have pulled them up a little bit higher.
Yeah, something was all wrong with those pants. And I'm not even a fashion gay like that. I'm not even the one that's like, girl, the way that outfit was, I'm like, I don't even really pick up on things. And even I could see it on camera.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an old Navy gay. What do I know? But Danny and Gwen come, and Shep is, you know, shows up looking like trash, as he does, which, again, was kind of cute when you were, like, 20, 25, or whenever this show started. How old is everybody on the? I don't want to think about it.
About 56.
I don't want to think about it. Yeah, they're all 70 now. So they're giving him shit about how he's, you know, coming to a nice event, not dressed nice. And then, let's see. Everyone's coming. Everyone's arriving. Yeah. I wrote down 20 lines for it, but basically
everyone shows up. So Austin shows up after all, and he's like, so awesome. I can't believe my best friend stabbed me in the back and told Madison to uninvite me. But you know what? It's my party and I can come if I want to. It's not your party, actually. And this is like, Austin is so entitled this episode. This is my party. It's my party. It's like, it's not your party. It's been changed. The headliner has changed. Madison is the headliner. You've been kicked off the bill.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm glad that they told him to go to the party anyway, because fuck that. She doesn't get to like use somebody to come on the show and then dump him and then start trying to have like big group scenes.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. No, good for her. Not good for her. Good for her. She did it the old-fashioned American way. She used someone and got ahead in life. Good for her.
And now she's trying to get him out of the group. So I like that he at least showed up, but God, you know, it goes, when do I ever root for Austin? Like literally never. I don't think it's ever happened. And so I'm kind of rooting for Austin. I'm just putting it out there. Okay.
Hate me all you want to.
So I was kind of rooting for Austin. So of course he was a huge disappointment. You know what? Just stick with your team.
You know what? I'm going to allow you to kind of root for Austin, because I was the one who went on record a few weeks ago and said that I was buying new Shep. So I think it's totally allowed that you can kind of root for Austin. How could I take that away from you if I said I'm buying new Shep? True. I can't take that away from you.
Yeah, you believe Shep is a new man.
But just remember that Austin used Shep to get on the show too. So there's that too.
Austin used Shep to? No, not really.
Came on and was like, I'm like little Shep.
Yeah, but he didn't use it. He was cast and became part of the friend group. I don't think he really used it. I don't think he was really even friends with Shep. Was he?
I don't know. I'm just saying I am supporting Madison.
Well, if he did that to Shep, then I would say, okay, well, you can't do that. Like, he's the guy who got, I don't know, who cares? That's how I feel about Madison and Austin. I'm going to start comparing all these different things. Week.
Did Austin use Shep to get on the show?
So John Pringle's like, oh, I don't know why he's here, to be honest. He always looks like he's about to burp out a beer burp, right?
He probably is.
He's always like, if I'd been dumped,
won't be drop hop.
I would not be going to a party on the beach with my ex. I would sit it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Just let it out, burp.
And so the boat's heading off and Catherine and Craig aren't on it, and we find out they're coming later, and Danny is like, I knew they'd be coming together. I'm like, yeah, because they're like really good friends and they have been for several seasons. It's like, yeah. I love that. Like, Danny's like, I knew it. I knew that two very good friends would arrive together.
So Craig and Catherine are on their own little boat, and I love how they're just like, oh, that whole sobriety storyline never happened. Like, the past 2 years just never happened. They're not only drinking, they're drinking entire bottles of White Zin to themselves. Each one has their own bottle.
Yeah, because so of probably like, COVID compliance. They probably are telling people, well, we have our own bottle of Zinfandel because it's COVID and we don't want to share a bottle and this is more sanitary, you know? And then they get on the island and are all like touching the same like mango salsa. By the way, shrimp and mango salsa, the real star of this episode. We got a lot of cutaways. I feel like we're going to be seeing that shrimp and mango salsa through the rest of the season. They'll just cut away to it when they need a cutaway shot.
and the sad, ignored crudité plate that never gets touched because it's too big to pass around and the table's too big to reach it. So it just got ignored.
Sorry,
vegetables.
Get from me.
So Danny's like, well, I don't know what to expect from this party. I guess I'll see Danny. And Craig's like, well, I think she hasn't been right since her breakup with Todd. Like, she doesn't know how to process things correctly. You know, and I'm dealing with Austin and Madison all week because she called and told him not to come.
Yeah. And then we go over to Austin being like, Shep, I got this phone call. It's insane. Okay. Madison, she said that, like, you have to compartmentalize. I mean, she didn't use that word because she doesn't know that word because she's a girl. She's stupid and insane right now. Compartmentalizing. Okay. Oh, wow. But I'm going to show her that I'm capable of choosing her and being chill. Sane right now.
He's like, God, imagine if she invited a guy. And Chef's like, oh, is that what you need to see? Come on. I mean, look, obviously the emotions are still very much in place. Like, you know, our thing is like, are your emotions in play because they're real? Or are they just in play because you need to be emotional about something?
Just like Anna Karenina said, you can be happy, but you have to be sad first, gosh.
Just like Sun Tzu wrote in The Art of War, did he say something about compartmentalizing? No, Austin, get over it. So Shep's like, well, Austin says, I just want to be happy. And Shep's like, you will be, but you have to be sad first.
Gosh. So now Madison's like doting on her table. She's so excited. All looks Pinteresty and lovely and everything. And then Austin spies her from the boat. He's like, I see Madison. I see Madison walking around with Mike. Or he said something about walking around with Mike or whatever. And Pringle's like, yeah, she's still a smoke show. So he's still going to go after her.
Smoke show. So Shep's like, Madison, I didn't receive an email about a tighter car. Did you just not tell me on purpose so I'd look like a slob?
Gosh. So she's hugging everyone, and then she finally sees Austin, who's like the last in the line, and he's like, hello, you. She goes, like, let's go. Like,
really? She goes, that bitch just killed my vibe.
And he goes, well, I see you went with the beach hair. And she goes, yeah, it's natural. Like, hey, you guys, your glasses are on there. She just ignores him, just peels away, just ices him out.
So she tells him that their place cards are the glasses with their names etched on them. And he goes, Austin goes over there and he's like, oh, Shep, Taylor, it's like, your glass isn't there, Austin. Why is Austin pretending that he never said he wasn't coming to this party? It's like he has no idea that he was uninvited to this party.
I know. He needs to listen to more Alanis Morissette.
I'm uninvited.
So, it's a good song. Remember it? 98? No, it's a good song. So Leva, Vanita, and Gwyns go into the water, and they're just, like, frolicking around. And Austin is now so furious. He doesn't have a glass. He doesn't have a seat and everything. And so you know, Madison's still, like, doting on the table, and she's over in the shade fixing something. So then Austin comes and stands right behind her and goes, sorry, I'm not trying to win you back, okay? It's just that the wind is coming this way. It's insane right now, the wind patterns, okay? It's insane. Seen Madison.
Well, listen, you couldn't get me back right now if you tried. And I think it's silly. Now that you come, you pretend you have this big dick energy when you don't.
It's insane, Madison.
He's like, you don't even have a spot for me. It's like,
I told you not to come. You said you weren't coming.
Well, I came, Madison. It's like you're just expecting just everything to, like, be set up for him. He's just having such a hissy fit.
Yeah, she's like, okay, well, we made you a spot by the other person we doubt is going to be here next season, Taylor. You can go sit over by her.
Oh, poor Taylor. So then Austin's like, he goes over to Shep and he's like, you know what? I showed up with my tail between my legs, okay? And I thought she'd appreciate that, but she doesn't. It's unbelievable.
Boom, 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 boom. It's like recapping it to Shep. It's like Shep saw the whole thing. It's like, she came and took my place setting. And then she said I came in hot. And then I was like, no. And then I thought I came in with my tail between my legs. Get me out of here. I asked if you could get me out of here.
Shep is like, gosh, I wish Ken Burns were here to turn this into a 10-part documentary for PBS.
Oh, you know, I wish I could just tell you what I wish I could have told all those soldiers in the Vietnam documentary. Pull out. Pull out.
First, you have to be sad before you can be happy, Garsh. So we get back to Craig and Catherine. Now they're on the boat. They've like finally arrived at the boat and they're on it. And Catherine has, I guess this is when they have their wine, actually. So Craig is like, do you know how to open up a screw top? She's like, you just twist it. It's like it's in the definition. He goes like, no, you're like this. And he like stands up and he like opens it and then like puts his hand behind his back. Or so he does like this ornate kind of like bow. And then does he drop the top of it? Or somehow he messes that up. Like drops the bottle cap or something like that.
Only Craig would say that.
Do you know how to open a screw top?
Do you know how to use a push door? Just push.
So then we go over to the beach, back to the girls at the beach, and you know, everyone's complimenting Madison on still looking hot during quarantine, and they're like, but what's up with Austin? I mean, look, Levitt's like, look, she had to stop talking when Austin walks by, and then Austin walks by and they're like, ew.
Austin is the definition of this sound. Yeah, they're like, Gwyn's is like, he's like pouting right now. He's just walking around by himself. And he's like, oh, and he's like playing cornhole, like all sad. Like, I can't even hit the cornhole. It's insane, this cornhole. not born for cornhole.
So they're like, well, Gwyn's like, well, if he starts dating someone else, how would you feel about that? And she's like, well, I'd be pissed, but Danny says, oh, so you basically want to use him. Let's just call it what it is. You just want to use him.
She's like, I'm going for the A team now, okay? Not the D team. And I'm training out the minors for the majors. I'm like, well, you better start getting out of Charleston then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can tell.
The other guy can't even fish. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he can't wear fish and wears wrong pants.
Yeah. So Leva's like, so why do you have Craig and Catherine together? I mean, why is she going to be coddled again by somebody?
I don't think having Catherine and Craig sitting next to each other is necessarily coddling. I think that's just like good seat arrangement.
We talked about this in Dallas this week, but I think it's a really uncomfortable choice for both Real Housewives of Dallas and this show to just make it all. It's like, let's have the minority character. Well, I guess she's new. She's been on the show before, but she's new. And then bring on extra minority characters just to yell. It's like it shouldn't be their responsibility to have to come on and yell at the people who got in racist trouble, you know?
But I didn't take it that way, actually. In this case, I took it as more like Southern Charm was like, oh, we got to have more voices than just these same white people. We need to open those voices up.
But it just seems like, especially in this episode, where they're just like, let's get Catherine. You know, like, why does she have to sit by someone and get coddled? You know, she's not going to be able to sit there and take a talking to. And it's like, it shouldn't be your responsibility. It's like a friend dinner, you know? It shouldn't be your responsibility to have to carry all of that weight.
Yeah, I actually didn't take what Leva said about that as necessarily that happening. I took it as just her being like Catherine, like I just took it as her being exasperated that Catherine just was like, of course Catherine's with Craig and of course they're in their own corner. And of course she just will just be with the guys and not facing her thing. I didn't take it as like she was, that Leva was taking on any sort of role in that situation, but you know, who knows?
Yeah. So then there's a commercial for the OC that cracked me up because it's like, watch what people are calling the best season ever of Real Housewives.
I know, I saw that.
And it says like, best season
ever. Insane right now. The season's insane right now.
And awesome. I was like, who said that? So I rewound it to see who the quote was from. I was like, oh, is it from like People Magazine? Is it from like Vanity Fair? No, it's from a Twitter user. It's like, says at so-and-so on Twitter.
Hane Chimpson.
So the food starts coming out and everybody sits down. And Madison is like, well, Pringle, you're looking sharp.
Yeah, she's going out of her way to give Pringle all sorts of compliments, you know?
Yeah, she's obviously playing games with Austin and trying to get him riled up.
And the thing is this. So Craig and Catherine still are not at the table yet. And so you have Madison sitting in her section. And then there's two empty seats for Catherine and Craig. And then you have like Pringle. And then Austin is like wedged in. And he's so mad that he can't sit in the shade. And he's like, why can't I sit there? I mean, it's literally you and then nothing because they're not here. I can't sit in the sun. It's literally, it's insane right now. He's basically turning into Ramona Singer, you know? He's making such a fuss.
So the crudité plate, it's huge. So they can't pass it. It's what we've already said. Crudité. And so Madison's like, oh, look at you guys with all your dad bods. You can grab that crudité. And Pringle's like, excuse me? Well, I am a dad, yeah. And I do have a body.
Exactly. And Austin is like, can't figure out how to sit at the table. And he's like, how am I supposed to sit here? It's too big. How am I supposed to sit here? She's like, you're supposed to put your feet under the table. It's like, the sun and the table. Oh, it's insane.
So Austin tells Pringle, yeah, you are a dad. You know, you've got sons, right? And Pringle's like, yeah, you got to meet him. I mean, Madison already met him. And Madison's like, yeah, you know what? I said, you know what? Let's just have a threesome. And everyone starts cracking up. She's like, I met it with a class with the kids.
Yeah, of course. That's what everyone says when they want three children to get together. Let's have a threesome. That's exactly what lots of people say. So then guess what? Here comes the star of the show. Shrimp with mango salsa. It has arrived. Big star. Big moment for it.
So Lev is asking is like where Craig and Catherine are. She's like, has anybody talked to them? And they're on their way and Taylor's stuck at the marina. And then we see Catherine and Craig driving up in silence, just kind of doom. You know, they know they're going towards doom. And that's it, right? I guess.
Well, Craig is like, is that Shep? Is that Shep? I thought we were supposed to dress up. Is that Shep? You just see Shep in his blue shirt that says, dance challenge, dance contest winner or whatever it was. So then like they're arriving and Austin will not move out of, like, I guess he took over one of their seats. He's in the shade and he won't move. He's like, they have plenty of places to sit, Madison. It's insane right now. He's just being so like cranky and like truly like the worst attitude of someone who's crashing a party. I don't care if the party was originally meant for him. He was uninvited and now he comes and all he's doing is like making demands and like whining and complaining. And it's hilarious. It is so, I just could not stop laughing.
I'm not going to have them walk up and have nowhere to sit. Now move the plate. Move that plate. Move his plate.
So Pringle's like, Austin goes back to the table and Pringle tells him, so are you enjoying that was once your birthday meal is now whatever the fuck this is? I mean, listen, man, at some point you just like, you don't feel like this is holding you back in life just a little.
It's sort of holding you back. I do love Pringle's way of just, I think I really have grown to love the way Pringle approaches Austin, which is like quietly bro-y condescension.
He's like, you're fucking sad, basically.
Like, you're not in my league, and I'm just gonna like just give you some hints about where you should be taking your life.
Yeah, and Austin's like, of course I do, Pringle.
So Craig and Catherine have finally arrived at the beach. Their journey, their passage to Capers has taken quite a long time. And Craig's like, oh, this is cool. And then Catherine walks up, and of course the girls are all mad at her, which is, you know, so they sort of just are like, hey. And Catherine's like, my best friends can't even look at me in the eyes at this beach because they've all turned their backs on me. I'm like, because you also said racist shit on the internet. So there's that.
And then she's introduced to Vanita, and Madison's like, well, you know what? How do you feel, Catherine? Don't worry, because honestly, no matter what, Danny's going to have your back. And she's like, on what? Are you crazy? She's not going to have my back. And she's like, she's always had your back. She's like, and then Vanita is down at the other end of the table telling Danny, is she ignoring you right now? Because I'm like yelling. I'm like screaming right now, okay? Has she even talked to you?
Yeah. And Catherine's like, the thing is, I love my friends and I'm very hurt. I'm very hurt. So their standoff is continuing. And then Madison's just like talking, and then Austin sits behind her and goes, oh, watch Madison grunt and moan as I sit near her. Oh, and she just goes, he's such a fucking bitch.
It's like, why are you in my seat, Austin? He's like, here we go. So, Chef, guess what Shep really loves?
The star of the show. New cast member.
The new Shrimp, Cameron. The mango chutney. He's like, not gonna lie. 5 stars. I mean, they should start calling this the Dick Wolf. Am I right, waiter?
Gosh. They should call this Chicago PD. It's a whole new Dick Wolf franchise. Gosh.
So then Craig is talking to Madison, and he's like, are you freaking out? Like, he's about to sit down. And she's like, I told him he could come if he acts normal.
The fact that he's here is pathetic. He can't even handle it. They can just be friends. This is why they have to cut ties. And I just noticed that none of these pillows are from sewing down south. And last night, I broke my hand again because I tried to punch a hole in the wall. And then I poured myself some Bujolaji Beauvais, and it was like not good. And now I'm here today. I'm Craig.
So Shep goes off with Taylor because she shows up. So they go off to play football or something. And Leva's like, you know, I want to invite Catherine to come sit here literally right between you and you, Danny. Okay. I'm going to like invite her like literally right here and she can talk to you. Okay.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, and this, by the way, and then this moment that happens cracked me up because it's like literally like a scene out of a rom-com. Okay. Which is that Shep has the football, he's playing and he throws it. And he, like, overthrows it, and it, like, comes flying in, and it's, like, heading right towards the table. So Pringle just, like, makes this, like, leap to try to block it, like, this heroic, manly leap to block it, but he misses, and it just, like, hits Austin in the back, and he's like, oh, shit, what was that? Oh, and he's, like, whining while Pringle's, like, the man, and, like, jumps to try to be, like, the hero, and I was like, this is what happens in the rom-com, that there's always, like, the Bill Pullman guy who's like, oh, what was that?
I know, and Madison goes, good job, Pringle. Pringle's here to save the day. And Austin's like, oh, God.
She's only too happy to exacerbate that situation.
So Leva's like, Catherine, can you come sit here by us? And she's like, she's like, okay. And Madison's like, Pringle, you can come sit by me.
Mm-hmm. We should also mention that Austin and Craig have matching white shirts and mustard pants, which is a point of conversation.
Yeah.
Through most of this.
As they walk away to talk with each other, Madison goes, you guys look like fucking idiots with your fucking matching outfits. I am pissed. I can't even.
She does get pretty nasty.
She's so mean. And Pringle's like, God, you're really a shitster.
Yeah. He's like, Madison the bomb is very sweet and nurturing. Madison with Austin is mean and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. So then Austin and Craig are talking and he's like, what she's doing is really making me mad. And he's like, but dude, you also said that you were going to show up and be normal. Okay.
Yeah. And Austin's like, well, all day she's been just jabbing me, just getting me. I just like, it's like, and I just sit and I just take it. And Craig's like, well, this is the nastiness that comes out when you guys are together. So he's like, this is why I get so frustrated to the point of like, that's why I called Madison. Like, any delusion that you have that you can be friends isn't there because your feelings are too strong. And I'm mad that you still have this thing. And anytime you two are within each other's lives, you're miserable. A toxic mess that spills over into our time. And I want to have a beach day, but we're having the same conversation over and over again. I don't want to hang out with our friend group. I blame it on you and Madison.
Like, oh. So then Catherine is going to sit with the girls, but she's like, I don't know if there's room over here. I need SPF or I'll burn. Okay, what's going on, y'all? What's going on?
And the city arrangement at this table is causing so much controversy.
I know. Danny's just like playing with her hair. And she's like, literally, I'm picking sand out of my teeth right now. Anyone gonna say anything at all? Anybody say something? I thought you were my friend. Say something.
I thought you guys said the sand in my teeth thing would be a good friendly banter to open this up.
She's like pulling out her hair while she's trying to talk.
Oh no, I got my hair in my hands.
Leva's like, okay, well, why don't you two talk and we'll have fun at the beach? She's like, and you talk. Bye.
Yeah. So Catherine's like, well, I'm open to hearing whatever you have to say.
Yeah.
Making those faces. So they go away to talk. And then back with Craig and Austin, Craig's like, you know what? Your toxicity is affecting everybody and everyone's going to start just pulling away from you guys. And Austin's like, well, you know, this is the first time you said my relationship is affecting me and my life. And that hurts me. That hurts me that I'm affecting you like that, Craig. And he's like, yeah. And from now on, if you continue to choose that, you turn your back on the other people closest to you.
This is so dramatic.
Yeah.
So so Catherine is now we go over to Catherine and Danny, and she's like, Irm, I had no idea you were this upset. I've been texting you since February. And she's like, Kat, you just did it again. You rolled your eyes. And she's like, I'm literally listening, and I listen by rolling my eyes.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? That's how I hear. And Danny's like, oh, you're doing it. Why are you doing that? Danny, that's like the dumbest fight ever. These two should never fight because they don't even know how to. It's like, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? Why are you saying it like that? What am I doing? You're rolling your eye. What am I doing?
Then Gwyn's gets upset. She's sitting there. She's like, she's ready to air her grievances too. And she's just like, everything's all about her. You know what? I'm going to go talk to her. So she goes over to Catherine.
She's like, I feel so disrespected. I'm going over there. So she goes over and Catherine's like, your friend's coming over. My friend. She's like, well, I mean, I guess you and Madison aren't my friends anymore, apparently. So Madison comes over and she's like, I'm not doing this. Catherine's like, I'm not doing this. I don't even know what you guys are doing. I'm not doing this. So she does the Catherine walk, but they're on a private island, so there's nowhere to go.
They're just all sort of circling because Danny's doing it also. There's like a whole lot of I'm not doing this declarations like from everyone on this island, just like walking around in circles. So Gwyn is like, Catherine, come have a conversation. And Catherine's like, you guys don't even know what you want. Gwyn is like, well, then why am I putting myself out here then? And she's like, well, no one knows, including me. So I walked away. That's why I walked away. It's like the most unproductive confrontation of all time.
Yeah. And Danny, of course, is crying. She's like, I was not ready to have that with her. Then they're still talking about what they weren't talking about. So Madison's like, I don't get what's going on. And I went over there to talk to you. And Catherine's like, yeah, but I was in the middle of talking. Like, you interrupted me saying, what? And then Danny was saying, huh? And then I was like, but why? And she was like, but uh-huh. So, like, it was important. You interrupted.
It's a recap of the past 5 minutes of them walking around in sand. So then Vanita's like, listen, can I just hear your side? Because they feel really betrayed by you because you haven't apologized. So I'm like, thank you, Vanita, for just saying the simple thing, which is like, all they were had to say is like, bitch, can you just please apologize to us? So then Catherine does the thing. She's like, I don't think this is a conversation for the dinner table. And so Danny's just like shaking her head like, classic Catherine. I'm going to cry. I'm not ready. Sand in my teeth.
Yeah, because she tells Vanita basically, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm friends with Madison, and we can have a conversation, but, like, why are we doing this right here? Like, I've met you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
she's like,
I don't know you.
Yeah. She's like, why are we talking about betrayals with you? And so Catherine's like, well, let's just leave it at that. So then we go to Pringle and Madison talking, and he's giving her shit. He's like, you know, now that I see you guys together, I mean, there's a lot of needling that you're both doing back and forth, and it looks like you guys still care about each other. And she's like, well, of course I care. But is it long-term right for my son being with him? Was he born for corn? Was he really? That's the question, Pringle.
Oh, good. Look, the Mustard Bros are back. Also, we should, in the middle of all this, Shep and Taylor like walk up to everyone, and Shep's like, "Oh, Taylor's like, guess what, guys? We bought matching towels." And they are both like, they both have like green bath towels on, as if like it's a huge accomplishment to decide to buy two instead of one towel at Bad Bath and Beyond. It's like it's pretty common to buy a set of the same towel. So Craig is like, so. Have Danny and Catherine made up yet? Have you guys made up? I mean, you guys are sitting there like nothing happened. And last I heard, you yelled at Catherine when she got to her house. So Craig is actually smart because he's like, no, we're going to shoot an episode and I'm going to make sure you guys talk about this right now. So yeah. He puts Danny on the defense.
Yeah, and Danny's like, you know what? How about y'all butt the fuck out? How about that? How about you just all butt out, Craig?
He's like, well, Catherine seemed upset the other day because her best friend wasn't talking to her.
And she's like, Craig, you don't have the right to say a word. I am sorry, Craig. I'm sorry, all right?
Yeah, and he's like, well, I'm Catherine's friend, and I'm sticking up for Catherine. You have no idea what you're talking about. I am a woman with sand in my teeth, okay? You can't talk to me like that.
But that's why I'm asking, because Catherine said she went to hang out with you the other day, and then she left after 10 minutes.
She's like, oh, so that's on me? That's on me, then?
She's like, okay, Catherine, okay, let's come with me. We're going to talk about this. Fuck you, Craig. Fuck you, Craig. And Catherine's like, hold on. I got a bad hip. I got a bad hip. I need a, you know what I need? New hip.
I didn't have my finger on the button. Sorry, Ben. That's okay. I've let you down.
Sorry, but I've got a bad hip.
That doesn't even work now. Look.
New hip!
Okay, there you go. Sorry. I'll have to start keeping my fingers on the soundboard.
New arm. New hip. So then Gwyn's turns to Craig and is like, you're upsetting Danny. She gets upset about everything. Did you see her playing cornhole? She held the beanbag and started to cry. I don't even know why.
Yeah. Austin's like, well, I mean, look, Levis, he just asked if they were good. That's it. She's like, but you don't know the whole story, Craig. And he's like, well, I don't even want to know the whole story. I just want them to talk, all right? And Danny hears him, and she's like, shut the fuck up, Craig. Shut up. And he goes, see, she does this. She flips out.
Yeah, so he's like, so then Craig starts being a real condescending dude, and he's like, you need to work on your reactions and emotions, which is like the classic thing that guys tell women, you gotta be less emotional. Meanwhile, Austin has spent this entire episode having outbursts about the seating arrangements. This is ridiculous, this is stupid, look at, oh! But it's Dan who has to control her reactions and emotions, who's actually in the middle of an emotional fight with her friend.
Yeah, and Levis like, you're being a dick, okay? I'm telling you right now, you're being a dick, and she is being rational. And then it cuts to Danny going, sob heaving.
Now, Danny may not have actually been rational, to be fair, but it's not Craig's place to tell her to be less emotional, more rational, okay? So Craig's like, we need to rationally talk. and then basically he's like, so basically they're like, she is being rational, and Craig finally has a realization in his life. Oh, I guess guys and girls have different definitions of rational. It's like, yeah, people.
And Danny's like, shut up, Craig. And he's like, I'm just saying that guys and girls have different interpretations of rational. And she goes, oh, clearly. And Levitt's like, yes we do. Yes, we do, Craig.
But just,
and he goes, okay, then I need to work on that. Okay, thank you. I will work on that.
But then just when you think he's reaching an epiphany, like a very basic epiphany, he goes, girls are different than guys. Our arguments are actually valid because it's about shit in our lives, but their shit is all emotional. Like, Craig.
Yeah, you're the one like, who Craig, just... don't be an asshole, okay? Jesus, guy who spent a year raging on everybody because his girlfriend was breaking up with him.
Yeah, exactly. Weren't you the one who just told Austin that, like, the emotions coming out of his relationship with Madison are affecting him, and therefore Austin can't hang out? Isn't that an emotional response to something? Shut up.
Yeah, be quiet. So Danny and Catherine are talking again, and she's like, I mean, the reason I'm upset is because I found out that you reached out to Leva and said that you're feeling alone, and I mean, if you feel like I'm not a good friend and you can't reach out to me...
And then I have to say, Danny kind of lost me on this one because I feel like there's so many things that she has the higher ground on. And the one she really chose was, Catherine told Leva that she has no one, like she feels alone and there's no one she can count on. And that the reason for all of this is because Catherine didn't give Danny credit in this situation. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know if that's like my, I don't know if I feel like that is like what's worth all of this. It's like, so you're saying that the person who got called out for a big racist scandal, you're saying you're upset that you were not like listed as one of her best friends?
She's mad that one minute she's saying, you know, Catherine just uses me for emotional things, but then Catherine didn't use her for the emotional thing. She used somebody else, and now she's mad that Catherine didn't use her for the emotional thing. It's like, right. Make up your mind, you know?
I mean, I think at her core, it's just like, what she's really upset about is that she gives and gives and gives and gets nothing in return and then isn't even getting credit for it. And basically Catherine hasn't been calling her back. I think at the end of the day, it's like she's texted Catherine or called Catherine many times and then Catherine never called her back. And now she's like, I think that Dani does sort of like she does derive purpose from being that person that someone can talk to. And she's being iced out of a situation. So she doesn't really know how to handle it. But like, I kind of feel like, I just was surprised that at the end of the day, this is what she told Catherine was really bothering her, was that Catherine didn't say that Dani was like that.
Yeah, but that's all around. She's been mad about this whole time. She's mad that she's been calling Leva and not her. So Catherine's like, well, I don't know if I said that I was totally alone. She goes, well, Leva specifically told me that. She goes, well, maybe I did say it because that's how I felt. And then Dani tells us, I put more energy into helping her than I have anyone in my entire life. And she is taking advantage of me and sweeping me under the rug until she needs me. And when she needs me, she really needs me. Yeah, but you're mad that she didn't call you to use you because she needed you.
I know. Yeah, Dani, this is not a friendship that is working properly. It's time to move on. You're like a lovely person. Like, clearly this is a one-sided friendship. Okay. Like, downgrade to like, you know, social friends. You're not getting anything out of this that you need.
I mean, I don't even know about that. I think it's just gone the way that they have always gone. She didn't get mad about it until the other girls started telling her, like, well, I mean, she hasn't talked to you because she's talked to us or whatever. And she's like, wait a minute, because she was fine. She's like, I haven't heard from Catherine much, but Catherine goes into those shells
because she's used
upset and all that. Yeah, she's kind of used to it. And the other girls are like, no, that's not really okay. And so now she's like, what the hell? And Catherine's like, this is like,
well,
what's different? Like, our friendship has always been like this.
Well, no, but Dani is like, oh, our friendship is always that, like, it's like Catherine just disappears, and I accept that about her. She just disappears. And then she finds out that Catherine actually didn't disappear. She just disappeared to Dani.
Right.
And that's why she's upset. But I feel like that's not really what she told Catherine. She told Catherine, like, I feel upset because you, like, basically acted as if I'm not a friend to you. And I'm like, she may very well be upset about that, but I kind of feel like the root of it is that Catherine just didn't call her back. I'm spitting all over my laptop because I've done so many Austin voice things today that now my mouth is just like full of saliva and just like spewing at any second.
So Catherine's like, what am I not understanding here? Because I'm not understanding why you're so upset. And she's like, well, I think our definition of friendship is different. She goes, okay, so you're saying I'm not a good enough friend. Are you telling me you don't want to be friends? And she's like, no, you're not being like, I'm sorry, Dani. I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah. And Madison's like, hey, I hate to interrupt you guys, but first of all, look at the Monster Bros. Aren't they two little bitches? Am I right? Also, the boats are leaving.
Yeah. So everybody has to get stuff together to leave. And so Craig's like, hey, Dani, I'm sorry. She says, no, you're not. Get the fuck away from me.
So then Leva goes up to Catherine and is like, listen, we're not against you. You just have to figure this shit out. So Catherine's like, I don't even know you. Why you're talking to me, you know? So now they all get on the boat. Bad things happen with this cast when they get on boats.
Not good. Yeah, men lose their shit on boats. Okay. Like, you can say whatever you want about men's emotions, but boats do something to men's emotions on this show. Okay. Because they always fucking lose it.
They lose their mind on boats and ferries. So they're on the boat. And so Madison, as in Gwyn's Madison, goes to sit with Catherine to talk about their situation. And she's like, listen, I feel like if my friend in a family business, like if they were in such a situation that they had to even make a statement about this, I would have knocked on your door. She basically is like, you should have, like, if it were me, I would have gone out of my way to like send an apology, send a message being like, I'm so sorry, yada, yada, yada. Cause like, you know, like, I'm a friend, minority owned business. You're affecting our business, but it's also minority, you know.
Well, yeah, not only that, stuff. Yeah, a minority business that's hired you as their spokesperson, right? So she's like, so you're getting in trouble for all this stuff. And then people are calling my dad and being like, why are you supporting this idiot? And Catherine's like, but you don't even know what happened. And she goes, do you even care what we went through, Catherine? And then
yes.
She's like, absolutely. Are you kidding me? And then it's just silence while Gwen waits for something else, but nothing really comes.
Nothing.
So Catherine tells us, well, I'm really sorry that they received messages online saying, like, why did you employ that person? But I think they shouldn't have posted anything at all because that was humiliating. And in my eyes, that was bullying in and of itself.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
This really makes you appreciate Brandi Redman's apology tour. That is about the worst.
Yeah, yikes.
I mean, listen, she was at least being honest, but you know what? That was about the worst thing she could have said. It's not about you being humiliated, Catherine. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not, and you're not being bullied. If you do something that's like, you know, very problematic and then people are upset, they are not bullying you. They are being upset. And it's up to you to, like, have to, like, sit in that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, and we all, it's for all, you know, that's what happens to all of us when we, God knows, the two
whenever
of us have
we say
said
things.
Bullshit, you know? Yeah.
Oh,
it's not comfortable. It's not pleasant, but that's
yeah,
life.
You're not the victim. So then, in the meantime, Vanita and Leva have moved right behind them, in the seat right behind them. And so Catherine's like, I'm not doing this with all the girls listening. I mean, what do we have, an audience? Come on, you guys. And Vanita's like, sorry, I was getting sprayed by the water, so I moved up. Really? And Leva's like, Catherine, I'm not your audience. And she goes, well, you just moved up right now to listen to. And she's like, there was wind on us. I'm not your audience, Catherine.
Yeah. So then they all sort of like scatter around the boat. And then Leva goes up to Catherine and is like, listen, I wasn't trying to be an asshole, but you know what? You've walked your life like feeling like people are against you, and you're looking at me like I'm against you. And so then Austin steps in and he's like, oh, well, you've got to understand why she feels that way. Okay. You got to understand. And Leva's like, well, what have I done to her that she feels that way, that I'm like against her, you know? And so then that's when Austin's like, oh, well, she feels attacked by every woman on this boat, every single woman, and their womanly ways, their emotional, irrational ways, every single unbelievable Madison woman.
All the girls go loco. He's like recapping what's happening right now. And then Leva's like, wait, hold up. And he goes, yeah, every single woman. Times have changed, don't you know? And Danny's like, oh, snap. Austin said some stupid shit. So now all the other friends are involved in the fight and listening and making their comments while they're talking. And Leva tells us, oh, no, you listen here, you little fuck boy. Just because I'm a woman and I have a voice and I know how to use it doesn't mean I'm a fucking bully.
Yeah, it was great. I think the show has always been the best when the women have come together to be like, shut the fuck up to the guys. It's always like 2 seasons ago when it was like all the women confronting JB or JD. Like when Naomi, I kind of miss my Naomi actually when she was like in peak Naomi form, when they, you know, just going at it. And like, I felt like it was like that energy was like here in this moment. It made me really happy. And
yeah.
Leva's basically like, listen, Austin, her and I have some issues that affect my husband and my child. So shut the fuck up. And then Pringle, guess what Pringle says?
Well, she's like, so shut the fuck up about that. Shut the fuck up about that. You shut the fuck up about that, Austin. He's like, okay, sorry. She's like, no, you shut the fuck up. And then Austin goes, Leva, quit saying shut the fuck up. I'm serious right now.
I'm serious. Even though he was the one who butted in and was like actually being kind of like, he was coming for her when it wasn't anything to do with him.
And so yeah, Pringle goes, he goes, you shut up.
And Pringle goes, Leva, this feels a little aggressive. I'm like,
Oh my God.
Of course.
Why do these people on this show know exactly the wrong fucking things to say every single time?
That's why I love this episode, because it's like it made me so mad. But at the same time, it's like it's almost hilarious how they always say the worst thing. It's like the worst. It's like, aha. And it's almost like, everyone, here it is. I'm trying to do it on camera. Like, here it is. The worst thing that you could possibly say is saying that the minority woman, who is like reacting to Austin's bullshit, and now she's the one who's like a little aggressive.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Nope. And she's like, listen, I was being kind to her. And Austin's like, oh my God, are you crazy right now? I mean, you just said shut the fuck up 3 times to me. And Madison goes, Austin, you do shut the fuck up and let her speak. And you don't even know what's coming on, Austin. Shut up.
Yeah, I love that the women all just stood up and were like, you shut up. You shut the fuck
yeah,
up,
you shut
Austin.
Up, stupid Austin.
She's like, Love is like, I'm having a conversation with Catherine. And so now Madison's pissed because Austin is being an asshole. And honestly, Pringle was being an asshole too, but Austin's being the bigger asshole. And she's like, shut the fuck up. And so then Austin goes, Madison, sit down and turn around, please. Like, totally, like, this.
Yeah, he's like, you know nothing, Madison. You know nothing. Yeah. Sit down and turn around.
Shut the fuck up. This condescending bro male, like, behavior. No way to talk to really anyone. But it's just, like, it was just, like, this disgusting display of Austin.
And Craig's like, see, he's a terrible person when she's in his life. Yeah, yeah. It's her that made him a terrible person. It's her that did it. It's back to the Garden of Eden. We'd still be under an apple tree if she hadn't fucked it up in the first place. And so Leva's like, Catherine deeply hurt my feelings with those comments. And at the end of the day, this has nothing to do with you, okay? And Pringle's like, well, you did say shut the fuck up 3 times. She goes, because I want you to butt out of my business. My conversation is with her, okay?
Yeah. Why do they feel like they can just, like, weigh in on, like, her conversation, you know? Like, why do they feel that they can do that? And then Leva says something. I couldn't understand what she said. She said, don't be a something.
Don't be your own enemy. She said, all I came over here to tell you is don't be your own enemy, okay? That's it. And Catherine's like, thank you. Dun, dun, dun.
It was good. It was good because it felt real and people were saying obnoxious things, but it was like, I actually like that we now have this like group on the show that when these guys, or guys, and in this case also Catherine, are saying like bullshit, that we have a group that's like, that's bullshit. Like, it's nice to have that. And I think that was something that I think coming into the season, people were really scared about the season because they were afraid that, that element wouldn't be there, that this would all be kind of brushed under the rug. And honestly, I'm like really impressed that the show didn't just do like a perfunctory like moments with Catherine where she is like, oh, I feel bad. And then we just move forward as if it never happened. Like, it's actually something that happened and is something that's being addressed and being addressed by this group over and over and over again. Which I like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it could, like, I like that it's not being ignored.
Yeah, it's not being ignored, that's for sure. And next week, it looks like it gets even worse. So they said there's a 2-part season finale next week. So I don't know if that means we have 2 weeks left or if they're going to do the season finale
two
on
episodes.
One night or what. But
yeah, I was confused about that too. I actually dreamt about that. Isn't that weird? I like in my dream, I was like, what's the 2-part finale?
You're like, how is this going to affect my board game schedule?
Pretty much.
But we'll be back next week with the first part of the season finale or both parts. We don't really know.
But in the meantime,
go get your tickets for the 2021 Crappy Awards. You can find the ticket link at watchwhatcrappens.com. You can also find a link to go vote. Be sure to make your voice heard. It's very important.
Yeah, it's going to be so, so fun. Go tell your friends, all your Bravo-loving friends. We're going to have a great time, and we're really excited for you guys to see what we got lined up.
We sure love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coochar.